Okay. So let me just make one general comment about what we're doing, and then we'll get into our Sigya discussion. So how many shiurim have we had so far? Three?
Yeah.
So what we've tried to do is to, like in each shiur, go through the Gemara and pick out one major theme, or you know, maybe two important themes about the Sigya of Hezekria that arise along the way in the Gemara's discussion. So whether that's about the scope of the machlokas between Manda Marshmei Hezek, whether that's about this question of how Ayin Ra'ah relates to Hezekria, and whether Hezekria itself is interested in that question of Ayin Ra'ah. This question we raised in the last year about when we talk about Hezekria, is it a plaintiff-defendant type relationship, or is it really just about the victim's loss, somebody else is compensating for it? Should we look at Hezekria more through the Nezek paradigm or more through the paradigm of Shutfin, a subset of contracts and agreements, what were they behind themselves for? And even what we raised in the last year, this question of what's a matter of rights and justice, let's just say Hezekria Shmei Hezek Lav Shmei Hezek, when have I violated your rights in some way? And what's just a question of policy? When we assign rights ex ante, l'chatchila, how are we going to divvy them up? How are we going to assign them? So, you know, that's like the Broadway question between bikers and cars. It's not a question of whose rights are being violated. There's no fact of the matter about who has a right to use Broadway. But at the policy level, when those rights are going to be assigned, how are we going to assign them? Right? And that's kind of what I was raising through Rabbi Gershom, about as between Chatzer and Abayis, or as between Gag and a Chatzer, how ought we assign the rights in the first place? So does everybody see how that's a different type of question than the kind of the Hezek violation of rights question? Okay, obviously it bears on that later on, because how we assign the right is going to determine downstream whose rights were violated. But it's a different type of question, and you might think that different principles come to play when we speak at that level. And I'll have much more to say about that. But right now, at this level, I want to get these chakiras out as we go through the Gemara. Now, the comment I wanted to make is we've been so far, you know, going through these sugyas and making localized comments as we go. We haven't done a lot of synthesis yet, which is, you know, how do these different questions that we raise, how do they all, come together when we're just trying to, like, now say, okay, let's summarize Hezekria, right? We haven't done that summary or synthesis yet. We're going to do that later on. Okay, so first it's just good to go through each thing individually, get the lay of the land, and then once we have that clear, we can step back and try to put it all together. So that's just, we're not avoiding synthesis, we're just pushing it downstream for now. I like this metaphor that I think Bertrand Russell has. Anybody know who Bertrand Russell is? Very preeminent 20th century philosopher. You know, he says, he wrote a history of Western philosophy, and he gives this metaphor where he says, when you go hiking, first you go through like each trail, and you appreciate each part of the hike for its own merits. And then like when you're done hiking, it's nice to like take a flight over the area where you hiked and see what it looks like from above. There's like two different perspectives. So right now we're still like in the actual trail where we go through each Gemara, try to pull out what's important. And then afterwards, we're going to take a bird's eye view of how those different parts of the trail connect to each other. All right? Okay. So, just right now, a general comment on the Lishna Achrina. I'm going to come back to these formulations about Gag and Chatzar in a few moments. But first, I want to start off just the Gemara and Gimel Amud Aleph, Lishna Achrina.
So if you're following the Gemara started off with the presupposition that Hezek Re'iyah is Shmei Hezek, raised a bunch of objections on that assumption based off these Mishnayos and Brisas to the Man Damar Lav Shmei Hezek. And then the Gemara entertained answers, right? How could the Man Damar Lav Shmei Hezek make sense of these? In the Lishna Achrina, the Gemara seems to flip the presupposition, correct? In the Lishna Achrina, the Gemara assumes Hezek Re'iyah Lav Shmei Hezek. Am I right about that? Let's see. Lishna Achrina, my Machitza Plukta. Sorry, yeah. Yeah, here the Gemara wants to start off with the presupposition. Well, depends how you count. At this stage in the Lishna Achrina, the Gemara wants to start off with the reading of Machitza as Plukta, which supports Hezek Re'iyah Shmei Hezek. Then the Gemara gets into objections to that, which is the mirror image of the Gemara in the first Lashon. So I don't think there's any important difference other than the background presupposition of the discussion. But unless you guys disagree, when you went through the Lishna Achrina, did you pull anything important out of it? Yeah, anything worth culling from that? Kobe, you pull anything important out of the Lishna Achrina?
No, just that it was the Gemara said.
Just what?
I think so, point.
Yeah, I don't think it's much important. Ezra, you agree? Yeah? Okay. Benji, you agree?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Shmuel, you agree? Josh? You agree? Yeah? Okay. So, fine. Then there are these other cases of Hezek Re'iyah, which we're going to talk about. The Gemara and Test, the Gemara and Daf Vav. Gemara and Daf Vav is very important. So we're going to discuss that a little bit. The Ramban has some important things to say about that. What I want to focus on today is the question of what happens when there's a minog not to care about Hezek Re'iyah. What happens in that case? So we don't really, the Gemara itself is not clear about this. Any indication from the Gemara itself what it might hold about a minog not to worry about Hezek Re'iyah? Before I get to the Rishonim, Ned? Talk a little louder. Okay, so you're saying that a kol kaminhag medina is limited to the types of materials? Is there a good reason to think that, or let's go to the Mishnah? So the Mishnah states the importance of building a kosel. It says, "Makav shenagel levin haskvil gazes kvisin levin and bonin a kol kaminhag medina." So what's your view, Benji?
I was going to say from the word "rotsu," meaning seemingly if both of them decided not to, then that would be valid. But I mean, the whole discussion is just, can one...
Well, remember, Ratzu could mean Ratzu Lasos Plugta, meaning they decide to split it up from common property to private property.
Right, okay.
Right, so it's... that. I think that doesn't really...
And then I guess that depends on...
Exactly, that's the two views in the Gemara. So, anybody have strong views about what this mission... Romy?
Well, there's later in the mission, huh?
We don't have that in front of us.
Yeah, well, the later mission gives you a sense that at least some places it's possible to have a minhag building door, which sounds like it's a minhag to not care about it as Rita.
For a gina,
yeah,
at least.
Right.
Yeah, what about for a chatzar? Is it clear?
No, I think that's right. The process is that it seems to limit the ability to change the minhag to just material.
Why do you say that? So you're reading it like Ned, right? What supports, what are you thinking when you say that this clause, Makam Shenagu Livnos Kvil Gazes Kfisein Levein and Bonein Akolka Minag Medina, why do you say that's limited to the types of construction materials and not to the fact of building a wall itself?
Because you should, if the second thing were true, you should have just said Akolka Minag Medina or Makam Shenagu generally. Meaning you specified the clause specifies when Makom Shenagu applies.
Yeah, so you're saying the fact that it says Makom Shenagu Libnos Gvil,
like
the... Yeah, the domain of discussion is about these materials, right? Anybody have a counter reading of this Mishnah? It's a pretty good point. Ned, do you agree with Romy's point? Okay, any other way to read this Mishnah? This line in the Mishnah? What?
I can argue against myself.
I won't allow you. Zolti, you want to...
I mean, there's a lot of problem with that reading, though, right, that Romy and Ned brought up, is that it seems a little repetitive to mention Makom Shenagu twice.
What do you mean, mention Makom Shenagu twice?
It starts off the class, say, Makom Shenagu, you don't feel the same system being voting, and then you want to say, oh, yeah, and then the token being having a meeting on, right? That seems a little repetitive.
I think that's exactly right. Meaning, I think the open question... is whether Hakol Kamina Gamedina really stands as an independent statement. The first part of that statement, Makom Shenagu Libnos Gvil Gazus Kvis Levein and Bonin, that's obviously true, materials. But then the Mishnah shifts gears and says, by the way, everything is governed by Minog. So it's not totally obvious to me, so I'm in agreement with Zildi on this, not that I disagree with the plausibility of the other reading, but it's not obvious that Hakol Kaminag HaMedina cannot stand on its own. It's separate from the materials discussion. Josh, you agree? Yeah? Strong feelings about this, or no?
Not strong.
All right. Shmuel, what do you think?
I agree.
You agree, right? I mean, it could stand on its own. Ned, was that the other option you were going to give?
Yes, but also earlier on you have to read Libnos Gvil is not Libnos Gvil, whatever you're building. It's Libnos Gvil is not the material wall, it's when you decide to build a wall that is Gvil, like implicit within that is the decision to build a wall.
Well, I think here the point is that when you have a chiv to build a kosel, so then the type of kosel will be determined by the minhag, right? So if you live in Yerushalayim, it's going to be built out of Jerusalem stone. If you live in Lower Merion or I live, it's going to be built out of like Wissahickon stone, right? If you live in, Queens, it's going to be built out of brick. Right? I think that's just what that line is saying. I think Kol Kamina Gamedina is an open question whether that is limited to the construction materials, in which case it's governed by the first clause, or whether it is independent, and it says, by the way, all these dinim, we defer to Minhag HaMedina. Okay, so... I think that's Zilti's suggestion. Romy, you agree with that possible reading?
Yeah, I think you could read it.
It's an open question. Yeah? I mean, I don't think it's dispositive one way or the other.
No.
Yeah. Okay, so now let's look at the Rishonim, see how they weigh in on this. Here we're interested on two levels. We're interested, A, just like in the din that emerges. To what extent is Hezek Re'iya governed by Minhag? Secondly, we're interested in the question, if it is not governed by Minhag, what's the reason for excluding it from Minhagim? Okay. The third question, which we'll mostly tackle in the next year, is there a difference between subjugating Hezek Re'iya to Minhagim versus subjugating Hezek Re'iya to questions of Mechila, like an expressive agreement not to care about Hezek Re'iya? What's the relationship between that and this kind of implied norm that the community has adopted? Right, so what's the relationship between Mechila and Minhag? Okay, so just to start off our discussion, this is already a little bit theory-laden. But let's just start off with the Gemara on the Mishnah on Daf Samech and the Maimer of Rabbi Yochanan there. So volunteer to take us through that very quickly. Josh?
Sure. Read the Mishnah?
Just the first part of the Mishnah, yeah.
You shouldn't make like a door or window corresponding to your neighbors.
Yeah, so you shouldn't open up into Chatzar HaShutfin, one opening connected the other opening, whether it's a Pesach or a Chalon, right? Great. And then there's some other rules here. The Gemara wants to know, how do we know this, right? What's the source
such that it's prohibited for you to open up your doorway facing someone else's doorway.
So Rabbi Yochanan tells us,
the doors weren't facing each other. This is why,
You injected something here. You said this is why. Hope and Israel have other merits beyond that. But it just seems like a sufficient condition, right? Once it's the exclusive reason why Shechina show Ram and Israel. But that's fine. So we know this from Bilam. You know, I thought, and I still think I'm right, that Matovu Alefa Yaakov has something to do with this, right? That's, the Gemara doesn't cite that explicitly. It just says, Vayach Yisrael Shofei Nishvata. But I assume Matovu Alefa Yaakov is related to that observation, correct? Okay. So what exactly is the observation here? How do you understand this, Josh?
Had I just the Mishnah?
So the Gemara says, what's the Rabbi Yochanan's point?
Rabbi Yochanan's point is that it's definitely a positive thing to have doors that aren't facing each other.
Yeah, it's a virtue, right?
Yeah.
It's a virtue that triggers the Hashras Hashchina. But it's not clear what type of virtue it is. Right, or what substantive legal content is being communicated by Rabbi Yochanan's drasha. The Rabbi Yitzchak, so Rabbi Yitzchak is like one of the Chachmei Provence of Carcassonne. He's a contemporary of the Ramban. So he just adds in here, Ruyin Halal Shishu Leim Shechina, Ulefikach Mishabchan Matobo Alecha. So at least he throws in the Matobo Alecha part. That's the important point for the proof.
The Gemara also in Masechta Shabbos assumes that the entire encampment of the Bnei Yisrael was like a chatzar shutvin, and that's how you know that you can't be poseach your opening neged a chatzar shutvin, because the entire encampment was considered a chatzar shutvin.
Okay. Rabbeinu Hananel here on Daf Beis does something interesting. Anybody get a chance to see this Rabbeinu Hananel making that Gemara on Daf Samech relevant to the Gemara on Daf Beis? What does he do? What's his move? Ezra, did you get a chance to see the Rabbeinu Hananel or not yet?
We did.
What?
Yeah, we did.
Excellent.
We saw it, but like, I'm not really sure.
Whoopsies.
Anything that's like
significant?
Yeah.
Well, what's the Divra Masa?
As a Christian.
And then he seems to support that as a Christian has it, or to ground it in the Gemara Masan. Right? So he's saying, hey, look, we know. So he's saying this thing either proves that the Paskin has a Grishme Hezek, or this is the basis for holding has a Grishme Hezek. So Rina Fanal brings these two sigils together. Okay, right there. Sorry, you got a copy of thought on this, or?
No.
You had your hand up, or? Okay. Now. The most important, you're right, Rabbi Yochanan himself doesn't do much other than connecting the two sigyas. I think the most important rishon connecting these two discussions is the Yad Ramah on Daf Dalet. Okay? So the Yad Ramah is interested in whether a minhag to not abide by Hezek Re'iyah, to not build walls between properties, between chatzeros, whether that's binding, such that you can no longer compel your neighbor to chip in for the wall. And what does the Yad Ramah say? What's his move? Kobe?
He said in some sort of Hebrew that it is some sort of issue involved.
Well, yeah, so read this part.
Well,
it doesn't say you can't have a mina. Just read the words precisely. Exactly. A mina is ineffective to exempt you from building that wall. I mean, there could be such a mina. It's just, it has no legal power. Right?
Okay. If there's a mina, you can't do anything.
I think we should just distinguish between the empirical fact of the minhag and the legal consequence of the minhag, right? You don't like that? You think it's pedantic?
Yes.
Well, let's just see. It may, that whether house. How significant that, well, let's see if this distinction is important later on. But certainly at a descriptive level, my formulation is more precise, right? Just even translating his words, right? He doesn't say there's no minag. He says, lo mahani ba minag lemiftre. A minag is not effective to generate the p'tur, right?
Also, the
yeah, and he quotes the Gemara. Yeah, so what do you think is important here about the Arama? What does he do?
He says it's not so,
good, so number one, there's an Isser involved. Right, and let's just say Hezekiah or opening a Chalon Keneged Chalon, there's an Isser involved. That's point number one. He's the first person we've seen to attach an Isser to this kind of Hezekiah. Let's assume right now that this is just Hezekiah. He's talking about the Sugya and Daf Dalid, right? So he says there's an Isser. And what's the significance of there being an Isser? Yeah, it renders the minhag ineffective, right? Yeah. Is that a fair formulation? Or yeah. You want to put it
What do you think about overriding making it ineffective?
I guess the significance of overriding the minhag is that you still can compel your neighbor to build a wall. Yes? Okay. That's the significance of the Yad Arama. Let me just ask you, do you understand his idea? Where does he pull Isser from? Where does he get Isser from?
He's already sort of told me that you can't have
his minhag
to not have it.
So
he has to explain why.
Well, he seems to say that he's getting. He says the reason why the minhag is no good is because there's an isser. But how does he know there's an isser?
Using the pasuk to explain.
So he's using the pasuk. How does the pasuk get you an isser? Interesting. So you're saying this is like you wouldn't praise B'nai Yisrael for just good monetary conduct? So you think you need Isser to make the praise coherent. So that's the view. Zahara, you have a thought on this?
Yeah, I don't think it's directly obvious if you don't add in anything else why this generous Isser. So this is, I think, Pashat Shachbil is recognizing a ma'awa, a virtue. But why does a, historical fact that B'nai Yisrael displayed a certain virtue at this time, therefore turn that into a, oh, and there, there's actually the shoe outside the bin, and anything that violates this is an issue.
Right. I mean, sure, couldn't you have, like, we always think it's praiseworthy to do lefnim yeshua sadin.
Right.
Right? So let's say you saw everyone is, everyone has fights, but when they have fights, you know, they're just mochel each other, right? Everyone's, like, so relaxed. Wouldn't you say that's, like, a praiseworthy thing? That seems to be worthy of praise. So, Zachary, do you think it's problematic that...
I think it's underdeveloped. You have to explain what precisely is the virtue that Hillel is identifying, such that that virtue, the failure of that virtue is missing.
Yeah, so I agree. It's really not clear to me how he gets Isser at a Vayisa Bilamazena of Vayar. You know, why does Ashras Ashkina depend on not violating Isurim? Couldn't it depend on supererogatory conduct in Dine Mominus? No? What do you guys think?
It just seems that, like, that Bilam's praise, like, or the fact that we were Kolon Mega Kolon, or not Kolon Mega Kolon, caused the Shekhinah to rest by us.
Yeah.
And to, like, do something to push the Shekhinah away would be, like, an Isser when it comes to, like, Hilchot Vekut or something. So, like, you have a mitzvah to connected to God, and things which are done, which are like directly kick out the Shekhinah, would be an Isser. So regardless if it's a mumbling thing or if it's a sneer thing, meaning that the fact that we do it, the Shekhinah's there. If we don't do it, the Shekhinah's not there, and it's an Isser to kick out the Shekhinah.
So. Let's say a little more about these two things. I think exactly what Josh is saying, sorry, what Benji is saying, pushes on this question here that I just want to raise. So there's one question, which is, where does the Adarma get Isser from? To me, it's a little not obvious. I think Kobe has a nice suggestion. I think Benji has a nice suggestion here. But it's not obvious. Doesn't obviously emerge from that Gemara Basanit. But I'm also interested in what denotation or what usage of Isser the Yad Armah has in mind. Isser, I think, what does the Surah mean? Zolti, what does the Surah mean?
Forbidden.
What?
Forbidden.
Okay, so it's prohibited, right? It's a forbidden or something, right? So it's a prohibition. Okay. Don't you have plenty of Dine Mominus that generate prohibitions? So the idea is the Isser of Gneva, let's just say in the stealing property sense, there's clearly an Isser in addition to like the Dine Mominus part, right? You know, maybe it's a Lashon Malchus, but because it's Nitan Leshava, the Nitan Lase or something, but there's clearly an Isser, right? I don't think that's controversial. Okay? But that's definitely subject to be governed by a minimum, I think. Right? So the idea is that there's a, let's say, mechila even, right? So a mochel, right? I don't care if you come into my property. Or the minog is that if I leave my pencil in the base matrix, you could come and use it.
Although in Gozel Basra cases, around the
book. What?
Although in Gozel Basra cases, like the gardener can take the trimmings and the woodworker can take the scraps.
Yeah, exactly. Because there's no kpeda, right? There seems to be governed by minog, so all these little things. So there would be a sir, but that's not inconsistent with it being governed by minog. Right? Well, because why? So as Zolti tells us, Isur just means prohibition. But in one sense of the term, the prohibition... So is that what the Adarma is saying? It's just like, if that's what he's saying, the argument is not quite coherent, right? Yes, there's an Isur, but Isurin prohibitions just depend on the social facts being the custom, right? What's What do people do? No? Let me think of a better example here. So the Gemara... here's a good example. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, just bear with me, Gemara says, if there's no minhag, you have to show up to work around sunrise. We did this last year. But if there's a minhag, I'll poke a minhag medina. If in America, you know, you show up to work at 9 o'clock, that's totally fine if that's the minhag. Seems like if there's no minhag, it would be a kind of gezel meleches balabayis, you're stealing from the balabayis, if you showed up late, it would be prohibited. It's going to be usur for you to show up late. But if there's a minhag, then the minhag dictates the terms. Okay, so it seems totally okay for a prohibition to be determined by the social facts of customs. So what's the Adamas point?
He's talking about different cannabis, or not necessarily that steps out of like DNA, not more like fame, a bigger kind of thing. It's more of like a metaphysical, godly, you know, that kind of discern.
Okay, very good. Let's just take the first thing you said. So Josh is telling us that the word Isura is itself ambiguous, right? Or it could be used in different ways. In one sense, it just connotes a prohibition, right? Prohibition is perfectly consistent with it being like a pure mumminess prohibition, right? Like a prohibition that really depends on the will, the custom, the keda of the Baal HaMama. But there's a different sense in which Isura can be interpreted. And I think the keyword that Josh used is what? What does Isura connote?
Metaphysical?
It's too vague a word to be a keyword here. I think Beinanam Lamakam. In the sense that it's pure Isser. Isser as an irreducible to Mama. I think that's the way you gotta make sense of the Adamah here. It's not the fact that there's a prohibition involved. Many Dinamonists have prohibitions involved and are still subject to be modified by Minhagim. The idea here is that this is pure Isura, in the sense of like your day of Isser. Like they bought their bakala or something, right? It's just Isurim, not Mominus. And I think Benji said it, building off Josh's formulation, it's really just the Bein Adam L'Makom component. Good? We're in agreement about that? That makes sense why it should no longer be subject to be governed by Minhag, because some level. Yes? Okay. I think Josh is right, that the key word here is that it has to do with Hashra'as HaShchinah. It's not a foolproof raya, because you could say that the divine will, you know, sometimes about whether people do Dine Mamanes Bein Adam L'Chaveiro properly, but the Adama maybe is reading the Gemara saying that this is purely Bein Adam. Let me say just a little more about that. This is a theme that we're going to come back to later on. So it's a little tricky in general to know what's the relationship between Bein Adam L'Makom and Bein Adam L'Chaveiros, right? But what I want to say just for now is that if something is Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, then the Chaver has a power to defame the Isser, right? It's like his right that he could waive. If something is just a Bein Adam L'Makom that involves a third party, then the third party doesn't have the power to take away the Isser. That's the sense in which I want to use it now. And that's clearly what the Adarma is thinking, right? He's saying Minhag is ineffective here because we're in Isser land And, you know, there's nothing about the third party's kpeda or non-kpeda or mechila that could take away the iser component. Good? Yeah? This is a chiddush. Why is this a chiddush? Just once we go that route. You see, if you say, and this is just a prohibition and like a lo signo prohibition, the Nezikin landscape of Hezekiah is wide open. Right? It fits nicely with everything else in Nezikin. Right? It's really got another Machavero. Am I violating my cupbearer's rights? It's like an Eva, it's like Nezikin, etc., etc. The moment you make this move and say that, Hezekiah, the Karn Daf Samech, has Isser involved, you seem to be saying that Hezek Re'iyah, or at least this dimension of Hezek Re'iyah, doesn't fit well in just like a pure Nezikin framework. Right? Usually you think of these rules, Bin al Machavera. So just keep that in mind for now. Let me just draw your attention to another formulation, another Rishon who points to this dimension. Anybody get a chance to see this Nemuke Yosef that was added in the last hour? Chaya, you got a chance to see it? Or?
I just read it.
Okay, so this is a little different. This is the case of where you give somebody a reshus to be mazikut hezekriya. It's a topic we're going to look at in greater length in the next shiurim. So this is the big discussion. Could you be muchzak on hezekriya? What does mechila work? We're going to talk about this. The Nemuke Yosef's position is that you cannot. Mechila is not effective. Just like the Arama said that Minog isn't effective. What's the argument? Yeah. Why? Skaria?
So I said, there certainly will always be some sort of hezekriya, we will always be looking, even inadvertently. So Eman Nikhin also lach, though. So we don't allow the viewer to sin to hezekriya isur, because
Yeah, so what do you make of this phrase? Even if there's mechila, we don't allow him, Eman Yichon also lachto, the Hezekiah Yisuru.
I understand that's going on the viewer, not the
abused. I think so, 100%.
I think that's totally right. Eman Yichon also lachto, we don't allow him, the looker, the mazik, to sin.
What do you think of that? And he says because it was Isser. So Isuruhu, we know from the Adama already.
But I think there's another word here that's very helpful.
Beyond Isura, what's that word, Zakaria?
Lachto.
Yeah, I think Lachto has a very distinct type of connotation.
Right, but the activity itself is objectively a chait.
Objectively a chait. What do you mean objectively?
As in not dependent on any external factors or context.
What are the external factors and context that...
Okay, well,
yeah, so that's just a very circuitous way of saying what? That lachto connotes
strong lachto isur.
Yeah, I think lachto or chait connotes min adam lamakom. I'm not sure about this.
Not in every context, I think here it does.
Here it does. In general, I guess. Could you be chote? Can I get someone? Is that a thing? There's me, Chuva, Shir. What do you guys think? I don't know.
I think so.
You think you could, right?
I think like you stole from someone, like I said, like I sinned.
I think you would say that you sin to God through violating his commandments. I don't think you would say, I sinned to you. Is that right? I think you would say, you sinned to God. I might have violated your rights or something.
I don't know.
We have to look into it. This is like a Moser Machshava thing already. So I would bet that good Rishonim would reserve hate for, you know, you sin to Hashem. You don't sin ben adam l'chaver. Of course, violating ben adam l'chaver could also be a sin to Hashem. But I think that has like a very theological valence. Schar, you agree?
Yeah, just question, like, what's, there's a great line, but what's going on with the top line where he says, like, oh, maybe Shaman, that's an accomplished, Nussel or just us, or can you get Lomar Silver at East in the top?
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that.
And so this sounds like it's much more of a classic, like, kind of question, like, oh, like, even if you get with Hila, it may not be given with a full Das.
So we have to reserve that part for when we talk about Mechila, what's going on here. But this thing seems to say that, you know, we can't let him be chote, right? It's, that word chet seems out of place in a pure ben adam chavero, or in a mamona type of, you know, relationship. That's my, that's the, Shmuel, you agree?
Sure.
Yeah? Okay, we have some hands. Let's start with Romy.
I just want to point out that the Isser is all still not as strong as you might think. Because, like, in the middle line, he says, "Avo the kutchuvi akisim mahani, shani hafgedi asharo lahod vaz matmini." It's not a clash on the Isser thing exactly, but it's just, like, there is some limitation to the Isser.
What do you mean?
Which is a little bit surprising, no?
Say, what's the limitation?
Isn't he saying that if, right, there's been a part right before that, what you might have highlighted, it sounds like he's saying that there are certain cases where the issue would apply, but because you're not so concerned about it, you...
Well, what phrase are you? Alma del Hasgri de Chalon? That part? Shum Raya. That's talking about Hezekriah of Kutra and Beis Lakise, about if you build a bathroom next to somebody else's property. That's not Hezekriah. We're out of Hezekriah there.
Why not Hezekriah?
That's talking about the case in the second paragraph. I think second paragraph. If you build a bathroom, or you have like a smoke fire right next to you, that feel good. That's not Hezekriah.
Okay.
That's like just a nuisance type of thing where your fumes are going into the neighboring property.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that's okay for this reading. Yeah, so then we have Benji and then Josh.
Do we have a concept anywhere else within Halacha of like Harachaka of Chet that like Beit Din comes and like enforces the fact that you can, that you have to like distance yourself from Chet?
Everywhere?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Never been to Mustard Shmuz? No, I'm kidding. I can't. Isn't that like a thing? It's like... of course.
Yeah, they come
so many things are siyagim for averus.
Right, but those are like mitzvot derabanan.
What do you mean?
This is like, you know, Beit Din like sends an agent to your house and like makes you like, I don't know, download a filter on your phone.
Doesn't that sound like REITs?
I'm saying is that what this? Like, that's okay?
You know, there's the Rambam and the mitzvah of Shovtim v'shotrim titein lecha. You know, the Rambam says that there's a mitzvah for a bezdin to appoint shotrim who, you know, they scan the streets to make sure that everyone is in line, keeping Torah and mitzvahs the right way.
And putting in preventative measures also, not just like...
Presumably.
Okay.
You know, take away your smartphone and your car. Right. If you read that mitzvah of Shovtim Shotidim, that's the sense you get. That's really the, yeah, that's part of what a bezdin is supposed to be doing. Yeah. This is just an application of it within like this mamonos realm. Yeah. Josh.
I just want to point out that I think he actually has a very different view of Hezekriah than the Rishon Lezion. Because he's saying that Hezekriah is an Isser. Hezekriah falls in Isser land, and therefore that's why you can't be mofel it, as opposed to the one above him. I forgot who it was.
The Arama.
He seems to be saying that Hezekriah is in Ezekiel land, which is
also.
But there is also a separate Isser.
Yeah, I think that's a nice diuk. The Muki Yosef's formulation identifies Hezekriah with Yisura, and the Arama just says a subset. Issues in Chatzer is Yisurim, or maybe a subset of Hezekriah is Isser.
Or maybe even like a second consideration title.
Right, meaning Chatzer is worried about both Hezekriah and
Yisurim. Kind of like Sinus.
Yeah, that's very good point. That obviously relates directly to the question about Gina, right? Is Gina itself the Asaladim Lama Besada Chavero? Is that itself Hezekriah thing or something different? Good. Okay. So I think there's another Yad Ramah that's connected to this. I put this out on the WhatsApp. Did anybody get a chance to see this? By the way, I enjoyed that article about the guy with the camera, and he's not able to use his chatzer. If you saw the thumbs up and what you stand out, Zachariah, like the thumbs up in that comment were all in favor of the guy, the comment against the article. Like saying, why he should still be able to use it. Like, who cares that the guy's camera sees him?
Right.
So, right. We should all go in there and give thumbs down. To, okay, so the Yadamam Babasar Samach Amid Aleph. So commenting on that Gemara, Bilam says, Mehash Shaminan. So let's look at that. Shmuel, did you get a chance to see this?
Not sure.
Not yet? It's okay, I added it last minute. Ariel, you wanna? Did you get a chance to see this yet?
I think I did.
Okay. Stop right there. Oh, v'yafal gav da'achzik.
V'yafal gav da'achzik dan lohanim
be'chazak.
Okay. So even if there's a, I guess, a chazaka would be in the other direction
here. So even if there's a chazaka would be ineffective. Chazaka being allowed to be machavein. Pesach, can I get Pesach? Right. So he thinks that this is the point that I believe Kobe was making. You know, he just doesn't like this Hashras Hashchina thing being associated with just monetary conduct. So that's, a substantive view that he has. And then he says, V'itayma didina, here. So notice that Dina is his way of talking about Mammon, right? Din versus Isser, right? You can see if it's just Dina Belechud as opposed to Isura.
Is Dina considered like within the realm of
the realm of
Halacha?
Yeah, Dina just meaning like Dina Mammonis, I think. Yeah. Right, so the idea is that were they to be mochel each other, and it was just a pure dinei mammonis issue, then the shechina should be fine. Like, well, like there's no offense, right? Right, is there something repugnant? Is there something wrongful in people being mochel nezikin? Right. So rather, mechila is impermissible here, right? So mechila, like minag, is ineffective.
And therefore, it still has to stand that you would have to have some sort of wall there for a reason outside of between the people agreeing with each other.
Correct. Now, so this is not about the people between each other. As evidence, so it's not Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, right? We know that. And that's why Minag is ineffective. That's why even explicit Mechila, he says, is ineffective. Right? He says, Lav Midi de Mishtaria b'Mechilahu. This is not subject to the power of Mechila. So, what is it? It's Isser. But what's helpful about this this passage on Daf Samach is what? What does he add here? Other than giving, fleshing out the logic of his comment on Daf Daled,
he's saying it's not purely because of privacy concerns, rather over it about snus.
Okay, snus a dinashi. He actually gives content to why it is there, which is great. It's very helpful, right? He like kind of goes another. He gives us a further layer of analysis. So what's his position? Why is there Isser here? Mishum snus a dinashi. What's snus a dinashi?
I would assume that women would be less near inside their homes if they would be on the street and more allowed to have that privacy in their homes.
Well, what's the, what is the, what's the Isser that he's referring to?
I guess seeing women without being, them being in a similar fashion.
Without them being?
In a similar fashion.
Yeah, yeah, I think he's thinking like the Isser of Hezek Re'ia has nothing to do with civil privacy, people not violating each other's rights. What do you think? What do you think the halacha of snus a dinashi is?
Stuffing yourself and committing a
Okay.
yeah, I would think we could look into it more, is that the underlying halakhic concern is, you know, it sometimes refers to it like an iser hisaklus, right? Not to look at inappropriation. In the Rambam in Hilchos Deos talks about you shouldn't look at things, like he talks about not looking at horses when they're involved in like an intimate act, because it conjures up a person's passions in a way that's contrary to piety. Okay, now that sounds pure iser, right? It's not about violating the rights of the woman who's in her home, right? It's about the chait of the person looking at her. Right, it's almost like he's looking at inappropriate material, something like that. Yeah, like an internet filter, exactly. Everybody agree with my reading? I think that's the best reading of the Yad Ramah. So he has Isser here in cases, but the Isser has nothing to do with protecting the rights of the person given privacy. Right, it's really there as a siyug or as a protection for the ro'eh, that he shouldn't violate the iser of hirhurim or histaklus. That's what I think the Yad Ramah is getting at. So in a sense, the Yad Ramah is very good in that he's very precise. If there's this iser component here, that's why it's taken out of the realm of Mechila and Minhag. On the other hand, he really pulls us so far away from the Zikin that it's almost hard to see the Choshen Mishpat Bava Basra relevance of the halakha that I was getting at. We're almost in Yeridea land, Hilchos Deos land, about Los Azur Bachar Lavavkan, Bachar Enecha. Romy, you had a thought on this?
Yeah, I mean, like, I agree that it's unnecessary for them to add that word, and then that, like, you have to explain why that's there, but I also just think it's too limited for it to make so much sense. Like, it doesn't care if there's like a guy walking there naked and a woman looking in, like, that's totally no problem. Or, like, I'm not exactly sure how that works.
Is it, why does he say it's use of the nashi specifically?
Yeah, I mean, where it's like that whole, in the whole lot, the direction that we just took it. It seems too limited for it to be like one. If one of them say this is an iser, then say like it's so limited to just this thing, it seems a little problematic.
So are you disagreeing with this proposed reading of the Yad Ramah, or you're disagreeing with the Yad Ramah's interpretation?
Well, I guess I disagree with the Yad Ramah's interpretation so much that it makes me think the Yad Ramah could have said it.
Okay. So what do you think he's saying? Open to alternative readings of the Yad Ramah? Could we take Sneisha Dinashi in a different way? What do you guys think? What?
I would just be inclined to say that it's normal Sneisha and then kind of explain why Yad Ramah Dinashi.
Well, why the Isser, right? The nice thing about Sneisha Dinashi is that you really can make sense of this being... It's not like the prohibition attached to Lo Signov. This is really pure Ben Adam Lakom, right? That's the beauty of it, right? The view is very consistent.
Like, well, I guess, I kind of would say something like, the kind of tzniut that we associate with Nashi, like, it's not within that, but not applied literally.
Okay, so what's the kind of tzniut you apply to, like...
Meaning it is, the stock was in the room or whatever, but applied more broadly. Like, you know, for example, would the Yad Ramah really say that if I have a chatzer and the guy lives next door is just a single guy, I don't have to build a wall anymore?
That's an interesting point. Right, let's say...
So maybe he's trying to say...
A bachelor pad next door.
Maybe say like what you're saying, right? That it's not that... I mean, you might have thought that what's neat... If you just said sneeze, you might have thought he meant just like general privacy. So
right.
Maybe like this like intimate, whatever kind of sneeze thing. Or his doctor's kind of sneeze.
Right. The thing that I'm wondering is whether you think there's a good way of reading Sneisa Dinashi in a less extreme way, like without going in for like the internet filter paradigm, right?
So could snusa dinashi be something that's in that realm, but less extreme, right? So any suggestions? Zul, do you have a hand on this?
I was going to say, I mean, like, this is back to what Josh was saying earlier, like, you may still have to build a fence if it's just a single guy in your neighborhood, because he says, none of these things that's going to be included in this.
Right? Right, but that would be subject to mechila.
Right.
Right? Meaning that would be subject to mechila. Because, like, the thing that has the iser is that it's usually not.
Right, fair.
Okay, maybe, but all these restrictions associated with it being Yisura presumably would be limited to the set of cases where Yisura actually applies.
Yes.
Right? Sorry, you have an alternative?
Yeah, maybe an alternative could be really the snusa dinashe is going to be more of like a...
Is it snusa dinashe? Is that...
Dinashe.
I don't know.
Maybe they're just like a... Meditative for the home, right? You know, quote Asmal Fima, and really they're the ones who are home around, therefore,
yeah.
Concerned. It's like a Zayn device in that sense. That's not particularly gendered one way or the
right,
other,
right.
Just that to protect the privacy of those who are in the home, that's this.
Yeah. I was wondering about that. What do you guys think of that? Is that a plausible reading? It's like closer to the. So it's not about, like, it's not the Hirhurim. But it's to protect the kind of little nowhere, no man's land in between, right? Should have said, is they get to buy a shiny, you know? What's the use of the nashi?
Yeah, it's like, you know, the sanctity and the privacy. Maybe that's what you call civil privacy. I don't know. The different scenario you're doing in your home. Maybe that is some element of kedusha and whatever, that you don't want people, the idea of people being private. You know?
Right, right. The problem then is that it's a little harder to connect it to, like, a pure animal model.
Like, so it has to be a ban on the Muslim thing.
Maybe, like, God doesn't want you, like, posting every one of your thoughts on Facebook. You know, it's kind of like that's the violation. Like, you shouldn't be living a public life.
Right. So I was thinking, like, if you ask the Taliban, right?
Right.
And they were to say, like you say, like, why can't women leave the home? I mean, the Rambam says certain things along these lines also, right? So would they say that is the point there that it's because, like, people shouldn't see them in the street, or they're saying it's like, no, it's something more than I grasp at the formulation, right? What's the, so you're appealing to Kedusha. It's hard to have, like, a nice, clear view of what that is. No?
Yeah. Kind of a second point.
Yeah.
There's also this one I thought was about the Rav, which I forgot before. The Rav ties the Pesach, the Pesach Shemayazic, and Lo Shemayazic,
to this
halachas. And this is kind of problematic, because this Isser is, you know, at least in the different Gavra, that's pretty narrow, what I'm saying. You might not find it the case. And exactly the thing we're trying to match out in Mardav Beis is, which cases does Hedit really apply?
Yeah.
Just to say, oh, well, there's an Isser sometimes.
Right, it's
that
very
determined
all the cases, right? Yeah, you could say something which I don't love. We're going to talk about this later on. You know, it's a consideration that then gets factored into, like, the building code, right? Because, like, okay, now it's a bachelor pad, but eventually a couple's going to move in, so we just, you know, bake it into the zoning laws. L'chatchila. That's always a possibility in these things. So, you know, we shouldn't rule that out. But yes, I agree that it kind of pushes us into those types of answers. Okay, further thoughts on the Yarmah before we move on? Okay, let's take Ariel and then Josh.
It's a little bothersome that this whole idea of the Nashi would then go ahead and say that it has to be, like, is he going to be consistent with that opinion in all these videos? Who's in the Mishnah and Daf Samaf is a specific case in the house specifically?
Right, I think that's what Zachariah was kind of. I think that's what Zachariah was saying. And then who had the diak before? I think it was Josh's diak about the difference between the Yad Arman and Mukha Yosef.
And Rashi says specifically on Daf Samaf that's the person Snusa.
Right, but we don't know what Snusa. See, right, Snusa itself is ambiguous.
Yeah.
I think Snusa Dinashi disambiguates the ambiguity of Snusa. Right, I think that's what's nice about the Snusa Dinashi formulation. And it explains why it's not nitan l'mechila, right? Because it's not about protecting the woman's privacy, really, right?
The movie was connected to all this, so it has a career. It's possible the other ones looking at this isolated case.
Right, I think that's what Josh was saying. It's like these cases have a subset of a of these cases also, right, the diak was yisura nami ika. Not necessarily every case has a griya. Same over here, yisura nami ika yaksiv. That's like one type of consideration in the class of cases of chatzar asamach chatzar chavero, bais samach lebais chavero, things like that. But not necessarily that exhausts the realm of hezekriya concerns. I think Zachariah was pointing out, if you go back to the Rabbi Hananel, who says, oh, hezekriya shmei hezek, that's the same thing as Bilam's, as the Bilam story with Rabbi Yochanan. That's problematic if the Bilam thing is really just the Yisur Dinashi type thing, right? It's like hard to read that back into everything on that base. Right? That was Zachariah, that was your point. Yeah, so I think that's a valid concern. Okay, I think we have a very good handle now of the Yad Arma, the two Yad Armas, the Nemuka Yosef, the what sense of Yisura is being used here, pulling this out of Al-Khaber to Benadam Makom. That explains why Minok is irrelevant, that explains why Chila is irrelevant. And we have a nice participation. Tzniusa here, Tzniusa Dinashi. Okay? Yeah? Shmuel?
Tzniusa Dinashi, like, I agree with our whole analysis until now. But one thing that bothered me, like, how can we say that's an inward sort of insert to himself? Tzniusa Dinashi, like, it seems very clear that Tzniusa should be against someone else.
That seems very clear to you? So.
Let's go back to the Bacham here. This is a deeper philosophical point that it's worth just spending a minute to explicate further. See, there are people of the mindset that the only significant moral relationship that you have in Judaism is between you and God, right, between you and Hashem. And everything in the world is just hefetimsi for, like, you doing the right thing between you and Hashem. And then you could subsume all of Binat Mechavero as case, instance, or something. Well, yeah, subcategory or an application of an alamako. Hashem tells you not to steal. When you steal from your chaver, you're violating the ratzon Hashem of not stealing. There's a philosopher, H.L.A. Hart, who talks about rights, and he's like, if you look at the Aseret HaDibros, it's very clear that, you know, they're just divine commandments meant to obey God, which is that sense. When I read that, I think that's clearly wrong. Obviously, many of the teachings of the Torah are there to establish rights and duties owed to other people. Right? The whole point of the Torah is to say that there is an important moral relationship between you and the other person, and these are the boundary rules. These are the ways that you're supposed to respect the chavero's rights. Okay? The important nafkamina, at least one nafkamina, it's not a perfect nafkamina, is that Benadam Mechavero is subject to the Kepeda and Mechila of your friend. Okay? So that would make sense if it's about, like, the halacha here is establishing that your friend has a right to privacy. You can't violate that. So Tznius, in the Tznius Dinashi sense, I don't think would fall under that description. Right? If you viewed Tznius as meaning it's about you shouldn't conjure up certain passions, then it doesn't matter what the, you know, what the other person cares. Right?
Right.
The halacha is not about the other party. The other party is just the stimulant, right, for the Isser arriving.
But then why would you
I think that's what Zachariah was trying to make. Like,
to move away from Sunisa Nashi as like it's like, oh, for the privacy of women. Is that what you're saying? So I think Shmuel has an interesting like semantic reasoning. Sunisa Nashi like connotes like the privacy of women. Right, like we want to protect women's rights.
I mean, forgetting like what my reading is, it just doesn't seem like it's between him and himself. It seems like it's between him and some other party.
But if she told him that it was okay and she was both of them, you wouldn't say that he's not allowed to fuck.
Agreed, but then...
Right, he says, lo mishtaria b'machila, right? Doesn't sound like it's all about the woman's right to privacy here.
Agreed, and in this context, I like...
I think did nashi is, like, ambiguous, right? That possessive. Sniya says it relates to women, as opposed to, like, the woman's privacy. Romy, you had a hand up on this?
I'm not sure why we don't want to just say that sniya nashi means... It's like boxing out what we said the other day, like, that sniya could mean just, like, I should have this right to, like, a private space or something like that. And this is going to say, no, we're talking about, like... sexual or intimate, that's the
case
we're talking about.
So you're agreeing with that read, or?
Meaning, I am suggesting that. Meaning, right, why don't you just say that? That the additional word nashi doesn't mean, not stockless, like, stockless for Hebrew, that only applies to women, and the word nashi is like a strong women. It just means, right, the kind of thing that's associated, meaning that would mean, like, associated with women, which is like the intimacy kind of thing. It's not the, like, you know, I should have to be inside my house, or whatever kind of thing.
Right, but the question then is, why is that, like, what's the halachic iser associated with that form of sneas? Right? So...
Well, I guess my what I'm trying to mean, all that serves is the end of expanding it a little bit to mean, like, to kind of get out of the question I asked before, like, what is the same guy next door? Like, it's really stockless in the urban sense, which would only apply to men.
Or something broader.
Right, I think it's broader, and I think that's even explain in the broader read. I don't need to get at, like, the whole, beyond that.
Right. Okay, so we should reserve, what?
Romy's reading makes me happy.
That makes you happy. So we should look into this more a little bit, if Sunisa Nashi doesn't have to be as narrow as I'm making it out to be. Okay, I just want to point out the Daf al Daf. It's one of these Daf Yomi Svarim. Bar Ilan has, they sometimes quote like interesting things from the Achronim. What?
The Korfasim.
Oh, yeah? Okay, so here he's just quoting a Chacham Echad from a Torah journal that he found, fleshing out the Yad Ramah on Yisur Nami Yika. And he says, Af Shemitzad Din Isser Nezikin Bevenadam Lechaveira Mahani Mechila, Mikalmakam Mitzad Din Isser Tznias Bevenadam Lamakam Lo Mahani Mechila. Okay, so this is just a very nice formulation here that is almost
explicit about drawing this distinction between two different types of Isurim. That the word Isur is ambiguous.
He's saying, obviously, mitzad din Isur Nezikin, obviously you could have Isurim with Nezikin, but those are subject to Mechila. That's the first sense of prohibition. But there's a different sense, din isert sneas, which is purely ben adam lamakom, that's where mechila doesn't work. Now, just responding to Romy and Shmuel about this back and forth about sneas with dinashi, to my mind, that my formulation is consistent with this being pure ben adam lamakom. Right? If you're focusing on the roe. I'm not sure, Romy, if on your formulation, you could say that there's just like a bein adam lamakom chiyuv from the parties who desire the tznius to do certain things with tzedakah. So, bein adam lamakom here.
I don't know if you have to say it's about the parties who desire the privacy. That's not.
So I'm saying, but you have to say that tznius dinashi is just a dinis or tznius bein adam lamakom. That's the point, right? It can't be...
No, I don't think it has to be... I think it could also be beyond Mechila.
Okay. But would you say it's just been on the... On your reading of Tzitzit Nashi, is it just been on the Makkum?
Oh, no.
Right, okay, so you're disagreeing with this guy.
Oh, it's just been on the Makkum, yes, I think it is.
You think it is just been on the
Makkum? Well, yes.
Ah, so there's like a duty to Hashem to do certain things in private.
It's about the viewer the same way. All I'm trying to get rid of is
the stuff. The pure, okay. So, but you're saying it's the viewer has a chiv, not just to Hashem.
A person, any person, shouldn't look at inappropriate things.
Well, because the victims or because, no, just because of himself.
Because of yourself.
Why shouldn't he look at inappropriate things?
It's bad for your soul. I don't know.
Sounds very close to what I was saying. No? Josh, doesn't that sound very close to what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All I'm saying, just say clear, it's not just women, it's men also.
That, right, all I'm trying to be clear is that when you call the Ahura Ministakos, that limits it very, very narrowly to men. And I don't think that holds up, that's all.
I think it's an argument whether or not women are allowed to look at men. So, you know.
I thought it was pretty
close. I think it does
look at us. All right. So, now I want to move on. So that's the outer mind. Let's contextualize the outer mind in a broader discussion of Rishonim. So, the closest on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, cites Rabbeinu Tam. What happens if the minhag is to build a wall that's less than Hutzah V'Dafna? Okay? So, you saw the Gemara on Daf Dalid, right? Kol Asu Yemai, Hutzah V'Dafna, even if it's this kind of very flimsy divider made out of woven lulavim. But less than that is no good. Even if there's a minug. Why? Because that's a minug hedyot. It's a foolish minug. And Rabbeinu Tam's proved from here, mochiach mikan, deyesh minugim shein lis machaleim, afilo yechadizan akolka minug amadina. Now, it's a little not clear to me if Rabbeinu Tam here is talking about a minug to not have a fence altogether, or just about the quality of the fence. But it doesn't really matter because, well, tell me if you agree. If Rabbeinu Tam is saying that a minug for a poor quality of fence is no good, then alachas kama v'kama, a minug to not have a fence altogether is not going to be a valid minug. Is that a valid inference? Seems plausible on its face. Sorry.
I don't know. I kind of disagree. I think from the end of it, if I can generalize it to other cult men and Medina cases, which don't even have a chashash or misser involved, but just other moments, for example, if you agree to hire a cult for the day and you say, I'll give you lunch, what kind of lunch do you have to give? So you're just saying, for example, but if you know, we really mean that there's a reasonable range, and there's a, and you say, I'm going to give you two lima beans, that's unreasonable minimum, right?
Right.
You have to give them like a real lunch. I think he's making a shocking claim, but it's a very just mom-and-o's thing. It's just like, if we have an institution where we want to build a wall, build something that's a wall. Don't build something that's just like, a clothesline with like a drape over it.
So
like,
if, but if there's,
foolish
but,
in
if, but if there's a minug for no wall, and that might be kosher.
Right, it's like within its own framework, if you're trying to build a wall, make sure the minhag is actually like logically coherent and fills that goal.
Yeah, it's a really interesting point.
I'm making comments on no wall.
Yeah, so I'm a little torn about this, what the right reading of Rabbeinu Tam is. You see, the question is whether you think that is Rabbeinu Tam operating here under the background assumption that there is kpeda about hezekriya, and now there's just a question about the quality of addressing the hezekriya. And Rabbeinu Tam is saying, given the background concern of hezekriya, it's got to be addressed in the right way. So if the wall is going to fall down tomorrow, or the wall is not going to be a permanent solution, then that's a bad minhag. It doesn't meet the desired end that it's supposed to meet. It doesn't achieve the purpose of building a wall in the first place. That's one way of reading Rabbeinu Tam. The other way of reading Rabbeinu Tam is that some things, like the Adarma, but not necessarily for its reason, are just not governed by Minhagim. The Halacha takes certain things out of the realm of Minhag. Hezekriya is one of them. Right? So the Halacha has a Kedah on solving Hezekriya. Hutzah V'Dafna is the minimum way of addressing Hezekriya. Anything less than that, a weaker wall, no wall, is against what the halacha desires. Do you see that? So it's actually not clear from Rabbeinu Tam if what he holds about a minhag to not build a wall altogether. Zolti?
I'm just a little confused as to the first approach. I think that's the same approach from the fire ghost, right?
Yeah.
Right now, we're trying to say that,
we want to qualify each mid, like, the two types of mid-hug that we're saying. Okay, either there's a mid-hug that you don't have to the wall, therefore you don't have to the wall, and we don't have to agree to that. Or there's a mid-hug that you have to build the wall, and at least it's good as this, it's less than that, it's good as that, then it doesn't qualify as being proper. But, like, I feel like that's a little inconsistent, because then you can say, like, or if they just had a mid-hug to make an improper wall.
Meaning, so your objection is that if there's a mid-hug to build an improper wall, then?
Then, like, why, like, then I would say, like, the Rabbeinu Tavkiri says, though, that that cannot happen. And I don't see, though, how having an improper wall is any different than having no wall, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to have a mid-hug to have an improper wall, why is that any different than having a mid-hug to not?
Correct. So I'm sympathetic with Zoldy's point, meaning, so suppose it's a community that everyone just puts up a really bad divider, right? Isn't that the same as just saying that the community tolerance for hezekria is just set at, like, very low kveda, right? So that seems to be similar to saying they're not makbid at all on hezekria, right? Which is a reason to deny Zacharias' distinction.
Yeah, I'm sympathetic to that.
I think the way to defend Zacharias reading is to say something like, oh, this is a stupid community where they care about Hezekria, they're just, like, not able to help themselves in, like, knowing what the right solution is.
So you want to be very, like, more, they care about Hezekria, they don't.
Right, so it's like, let me take the vaccine example. So, like, maybe some people don't care about COVID. If the minhag is to not care about COVID, then you can't enforce vaccines. But if the minhag is to care about COVID, then it's stupid to not enforce vaccines. You see that? Now, Zolti comes along and says, well, if you don't care about vaccines, you don't care about COVID. Something like that, right? But you can see how there's like a way
in between. But yeah, it's like a weird case where it's almost like the community doesn't know what's good for it, right? So it's like, they do care about Hezekria, they just, like, don't know the proper solution. And our Rabbeinu Tam is stepping in to say, yeah, that's a minhag hedge, right? Given that you care about Hezekria, it's a stupid minhag to not address it properly. But you have to read closest that way, right? As opposed to, like, a community that actually is tolerant of, okay, we have temporary solutions to Hezekria that we band-aid every few months. Sorry, I'm responding.
Yeah, let me just throw one other factor in the mix. You know, closest in general, oftentimes, well, by other Isurim, he's trying, many times he tries to justify a mid-hug. He says, oh, there must have been some post earlier down the line that established this. In other words, he's a fan of that mid-hugim. It also connects to the discussion about the unchashim involved in making these communal ordinances. So maybe mid-hugim could be like this is like a commoner's mid-hug. This can't have been done by, you know, the thoughtful elites know how to achieve their goals.
Yeah, so that assumes that there is, like, a goal of solving Hezekria. The issue here is that there's not a good solution to it with this minhag.
Correct.
Yeah, 100%. So I think it's an interesting question where what exactly, which case Tosis is talking about. I'm sympathetic to Zolti's view, but I'm not going to rule out Zachariah's view. Dor Zeruah cites Rabbeinu Tam, and he says, V'lo yadana eiz a minhag shein somchin alav. Right, which I love the Sar Zeruah. He's just saying that, no, like, minhag is controlling everywhere in Dine Mamanis. I never heard of a minhag that we're not so mechal of. V'nira be'inai dafilu pachas mikana v'minhag d'holchen v'maman achar minhag. When it comes to Dine Mamanis, minhag is controlling. So there are two things going on here. Number one, there's a debate explicitly between the Orzuah and Rabbeinu Tam about whether minhag has limits in Dine Mamanis. Rabbeinu Tam seems to think that there is some threshold for throwing out a minhag shel shus or minhag hedyot. The Orzuah is a full throttle endorsement of minhag. Lo yadana is a minhag James Somkanalov. I can't even conceive of a minhag that we wouldn't rely upon. So therefore, even pachlas mihutzavidafna is a minhag. And he says, deholchim b'mamon achar a minhag. So again, so number one is the scope of the minhag. When does halacha yield to minhagim in Dine Mamanis? That, I think, is a hugely interesting machlokas, which we want to
look into a little deeper. What are they arguing about? Like, what's going to determine whether minna is binding everywhere in minimum? Notice also that there's a second issue here. Your Zaruah clearly assumes what? Against the Adama?
It's not the same.
Yeah, that Hezek Re'ia is firmly in Mammon land against the assumption of the Adama. Okay? So, kind of these two issues on the table. Does Hezek Re'ia contain Isser? Is it itself Isser? Or is it Mammon? Pure Mammon? That's one issue. And then number two, even on the assumption that it's Mammon, to what extent does the halacha yield to minhag in Mammon? I want to get just two other shitas out here quickly. Rabbeinu Yonah on Beis Amibes. Who saw Rabbeinu Yonah? Benji? So it's beautiful, right? He's very explicit. We don't have there being a time ambiguity here. He's explicit about what?
He's explicit that if there, that you're allowed not to be mocked as a society, and then like there's no issue with Hezekiah.
Yeah,
that it's totally prohibition. Has nothing to do with Ben Adam and Bama. Ellie, you wrote, say.
So, if there's a minhag to not be makbid on Hezekiah, then there's no obligation to build a wall or, right? So minhag fully governs Hezekiah.
Right.
Clearly against the Yadarma, diametrically opposed to the Yadarma. Right?
Right.
Okay.
Ellie, you wrote, say, I'm curious until show up.
Okay, but obviously you can't compel your neighbor to chip in.
Right.
Yeah, so hold on. This is a very strong view. So minhag fully governs Hezek Re'ia. That's Rabbeinu Yonah's view. We have one important objection to that. We have the Rashba's objection in two places. Ika Merabusa, he's clearly quoting Rabbeinu Yonah. And he says, V'ein dinam yafe be'enai. He doesn't like that conclusion. And he has a little argument from the Gemara to try to prove that. And then he actually identifies Rabbeinu Tam with his view. I don't know if you realize that. Shema mina in holchen achara minag, b'pach mitzvah v'dafna, d'minag tosu, b'chein katsa Rabbeinu Tam. So this is against Zachariah's reading of Rabbeinu Tam, right? He identifies Rabbeinu Tam with the minag not to be makbid on Hezek Re'ia view, that according to Rabbeinu Tam, minhag would not work in that case. So the Rashi doesn't tell us why. It would be nice if he fleshed this out a little further. In his tshuva, in Beis Simen Reish Samiches, he has a nice analysis here. And what does he say? What's the reason?
Brings out the pathos. Yeah.
So yes, tell us. Mikol Malkam. Let's just read this and then we'll conclude.
So for specified house and hand of Pharaoh. So minhag betos, ube no minhag. It's a non-binding minhag.
So the Rashba is on Kobe's team, right? It's a non-minhag. It doesn't say it's a minhag with no legal power, right?
Right. She'en mechula ha'kbada, ella b'monos. Sh'adam b'shai litim et t'lo, olizo b'metasa. So, fila and akbada only apply to monos, where the person can give permission to give away your stuff or be damaged. You don't have the right to cast off the moral boundaries of Israel and to not practice tznius, cause the Shekhinah to remove itself from Israel.
So what's he saying? What's his point? So if there's a minhag not to be makbid on Hezek Re'ia, that's no good. Right, so Hezek Re'ia still stands. Minhag doesn't control here. So against Rabbeinu Yonah. And what's his rationale? So what distinction? Do you think he's in the Yad Ramah camp? Isser versus Mammon? What do you think? Shein?
Let's say. I think so. I think that's the problem. He's saying the field works by Mammonos, but this factor is not Mammonos, in which case it's not biased. Or at least there's an additional factor of
know, Isser, Smeels, or Israel Isles, or something of the sort.
Okay. That's one way of going. So the Rosh is saying just the same thing as the Adaran. Another way of going here. And I'm going to say, I think what supports the Haredi's reading is Shane Mechilas Akbada Elab in Mamanis, right? So like Mama, not in Non Mamon. That's how Haredi's reading it. Josh?
I think if you read it more in like the Mamon and Sneas in terms of like right privacy, that like it's within the world of Mamon, but we can't have like a community of Bnei Israel just deciding not to care about, you know, rights to privacy. Like that's ridiculous. But,
yeah, so I think you can read this as a single clause. Mechila, Sa'akbada, only Mechila, and those things only make a difference. B'mamanis, She'adam Rasha Likimesh Shalom, these are B'napasa. Like within a subset of Dine Mamanis, where like the Torah gives you the power to just be Niza or to give it away. So in a place where you could voluntarily agree to be harmed, or to just give something away. Those are the areas where Mechila works. But there's a part of Dine Mamanis, so we're still in Mamanis land, that you can't just give away or agree to be harmed. Not because we moved to Bein Adam L'Makom. Right? But I think for the reason Josh said, in a Rasha Lifro Gidron Shel Yisrael, V'shelo Bein Mabitzmiyas. I don't know what Gidron Shel Yisrael means. I think it means what?
Great tongue.
Because of Gedder. Yeah. Not to like break the boundaries or something like that. You can't in this part of Mamanis, which is about let's just say the barriers, communal barriers or something like that. That's not something that's subject to your private mechila. So I'm just going to draw a distinction here that's helpful. I think this is one way of reading the Rashba. Even within Dine Mamanis, you want to distinguish between private law and public law. Right? So some things are about literally the relationship between the Mazik and the Niza, right? And it's a private law issue. It's all about the relationship between them, what they want. Then there are areas of the Mamanis that affect the community at large. Okay? Maybe for policy reasons. Those, even if in a particular case, your actions happen to harm one person, still, the legal interest transcends that one person. So, to put it in more halachic categories, they're both bein adam l'chaveiro. One is bein adam l'chaveiro in a particular sense, like me and you. One is bein adam l'chaveiro in a Robin sense, right? So, let me just give a quick example. If I speed on the roads, there's a sense in which I'm putting the driver right near me at risk. So that's in the private law sense. But there's a public law interest also, and like it sets a bad paradigm for others if like the cops let you speed even when no one is being put at risk in that case, right? It does damage to society and the conduct of people more generally. Do we agree on that? Right? So even if all the drivers around me are mokel and they say, oh, let Rosenzweig speed. I drove over 100 today, on 95 between Philly and New York, and then I sat for an hour at GW. It was kind of fun though, so I drive really fast. In Germany, there are no speed limits if you drive on the Autobahn in Germany. I think I hit like 120.
Are there accidents there like every day?
There are accidents, but it's like a pretty straight road. But the point is that in the United States, right, even if the drivers around you are mofel and they say, we don't care if he speeds, right, it's not up to them. And it's not because it's been under the motto. The idea is that it's the public law interest, right? It's like the community, it's the society at large has this interest that no individual could
be mochel for them. So I think there's a way of saying that the Rosh was drawing that distinction here. Ena Rosh Elifro Gidron Shel Yisrael, but not being Noeg but Sneas,
kind of does damage to the civil values of the Jewish people, how their society is supposed to be ordered. Zolti and then we're going to turn.
And this, how does Hafsa Shukran go to the
public law? Oh, it just, same way that speeding when no one's on the road does damage to, right? It's like getting people in the habits of of doing that a certain way.
You can make the same thing arguing about stealing from another person. You don't get people in the habits of, like, as
well,
don't get,
well, stealing from another person is like you owe him a duty, right?
Right, same with the Hafsa Shukran, just being two people, I feel like you owe him a duty. Like, I feel like that they're more comfortable than saying speeding on the highway, like, you know.
But I think the point is that Chatzar HaShutfin is like there's an overall communal value about how our society, what our society looks like, right? Beyond the damage done to the person living next door. We can think about it. But that's the main idea here. Okay, so we're going to wrap up a few comments here about the public law, private law, whether or not minhag should matter. And then we're going to move into Chazaka and Mechila and Hazakriya, which you might say is close, which is closely related, obviously, to the minhag. All right? Sunday Zoom share. If somebody's flying, just send me an email. Arlo, are you flying? Or Kobe, you flying?
I'm not flying.
You also flying? Okay, so if I
didn't... close.
Okay, so then we could move share a little earlier on Sunday. Okay, I'll send out an email. Or if you have a near conflict time-wise flying, just send me an email what time you're flying and we can try to work around it. But then when your flight gets delayed, we're not going to move things around again.